This is News in No Time. Ed Gordon on today's roundtable. A study reveals term limits do little to encourage diversity. And is it time for racial profiling at airports? Joining us to discuss these topics and more from our New York Bureau is Michael Myers, Executive Director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. E.R. Shipp, Professor of Journalism at Hofstra University, also joins us from there. And Yvonne Bynoe, author of the book Stand and Deliver, Political Activism, Leadership in the Hip-Hop Culture, joins us from NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. All right, folks, let's take a quick look at one of the things that's being talked about, and that is whether or not we should indeed now see outright racial profiling, Michael Myers, to assist in airport security. We've heard that the Brits and others, in fact, look at the person rather than the bags and securing only luggage and the like. Is that something that the United States will have to take a look at?
One assumes that one is not doing it already. I assume that they are doing it. Your question is, should they do it? My answer is no. This is just an opportunity for more TV time for publicity hounds like Peter King. This can't be serious. You cannot seriously consider racial profiling as an effective strategy for countering terrorism. First of all, we have to understand that terrorists, and I use that word in quotes, come in all hues, colors, nationalities, particularly in America. They even come in the form of children in America. We also know that Arabs are not all, quote-unquote, Middle Eastern-looking. There are white Arabs with blue eyes. If you're going to start nationally and racially profiling, it doesn't make any sense to, in a quote-unquote racial sense. Moreover, El Al, they always talk about El Al. El Al is one airline, and they don't do racial profiling. What they do is they call behavioral psychological profiling, and they ask a lot of questions, and it takes you a long time to get on one plane or a few planes going to one nation. So it doesn't work, and it's just it comes on the heels of Big Brother Michael Chertoff's effort to get more power and more authority and to change U.S. laws. I say it will not work. It should not work. Forget about it.
But they're not. Are you accepting either one of those, behavioral profiling or racial profiling, as something that the United States needs to look at?
Yes, the U.S. does need to look at this. I was amazed right after 9/11 that as I was traveling, I got to the airport 3 hours in advance as required, and no one paid any attention to me at all. And I kept thinking, if there were a terrorist organization trying to do whatever they were trying to do, I would be the perfect person for them to have recruited because nobody would suspect me. I noticed that also when you're traveling by Amtrak, for example, there's absolutely no screening of any type. So we do need to become better at figuring out how to screen passengers in public transportation. Doing it by race alone, as Michael said, is not going to work. It has to be a combination of things. If facts are true that many of these so-called terrorists we've come across lately are Middle Eastern men, then that's something that's going to be in the equation. But that should not be the only thing that security people are looking at.
Yvonne?
Well, I would tend to agree. I think, first of all, I'm always disturbed by this idea of Middle Eastern looking. I don't know what that is. I mean, that could apply to anybody with a, you know, darker complexion. That could be a Latino. That could be a black person. That could be an Italian. So even with a name, you don't know how the person got that name via marriage, via whatever. So I don't think that that's sufficient. I have to agree. I travel on Amtrak very frequently, and there's no screening. There's nothing that happens there. You could have a bomb literally in your bag and bring it on board. So I think this is more of an issue about what are our priorities? We talk about homeland security. There really isn't much homeland security. There were Egyptians in this country that took us, or rather homeland security, several weeks to find when they didn't show up at the university that they applied for student visas on. So I think it's things like that we should be better equipped at dealing with. Better baggage screening. I don't really feel secure when I go to the airports looking, seeing who is actually screening my bags and the type of attention that they're paying to it. I also think psychological profiling would be more useful to look around, pay attention to who's in the airports, in the transportation areas, and see, is anybody looking suspicious? Do they have bags that look out of place? I think also, too, that these terrorists are not ignorant people. I think if we start with looking for, quote unquote, Middle Eastern looking, they'll just recruit other types of people. There are Asian Muslims. There are African Muslims. There are white Muslims. So if the issue is Muslims or that sort of designation, I don't think this Middle Eastern looking is really going to be enough to stem any terrorist act.
And don't forget, there's also copycats.
Exactly.
Copycats, and of all nationalities and hues. But moreover, you know, I think we have to stop with the scare tactics and so many Americans becoming frightened to the point that we lose our values of civil liberties, our values of privacy. To the technology, and we're living in a technological age in the 21st century, and the government has failed us in technology. They should have screening machines that could pick up liquid explosive and things like that, but they don't. They don't even have security with respect to the baggage in the baggage compartment of the airplanes. So what are they talking about? They're just using racial profiling as another scare tactic. And I say to Americans, I say to global citizens, don't be afraid and don't be gullible.
And also, too, this is about being cheap. I mean, these technologies do exist. If we want to pay baggage screeners more money, we could certainly do that. We could implement a whole host of real homeland security measures, but they would cost money. So the airlines don't want to do it. The other transportation carriers don't want to do it. And the Congress seems to be impotent to really address these issues in a real substantive manner. So we get these Band-Aid approaches like profiling and the like, and really, they're not going to do anything in the long run. If some terrorist group wants to infiltrate America, there are so many different ways to do it and so many people willing to jump on board.
Yes.
And, E.R., we should note, as you did earlier, when you talk about the idea of the importance of screening and whether or not this is paramount on the minds of politicians in terms of putting things in place that need to be there, that is the training. We hear often that the screeners feel that they are not trained sufficiently enough to allow them to spot certain things. And any of us who've been through these lines note that many of these folks that you figure don't really even take it very seriously as they sometimes cavalierly look through this stuff.
That's very true. And they, in their own minds, are using racial profiling. They're saying, oh, this person doesn't look like she is worthy of our attention, or that person is too old to be a threat. And they're missing out a lot. I have friends who regularly brag at the various things that they're able to get through in their luggage that they're carrying on board airplanes, because no one's really paying any attention. You can distract the screeners with conversation about where you've traveled from, where you're going, and that's no way to run an airline or any way to give us some sense of security in the homeland.
Or Amtrak.
All right, yeah. Let's move our attention to damage control from Senator George Allen. Yvonne Bino, we are seeing him have to backtrack after remarks he made of a young man who's been following him, said to be an aide to the challenger of George Allen. We should note that George Allen is a name mentioned by Republicans oft times when you talk about possibilities for running for the presidency down the line. He called a gentleman a macaca, and those that don't know that can be a disparaging comment amongst some. But here's the most disturbing.
A man of Asian Indian descent.
Yes, here's the most disturbing part in my mind, because we are seeing people on the behalf of the Allen campaign suggest that he just made that word up. There was no significance to it. But what he did say was to this gentleman, who was in fact born here in the United States, "Welcome to America and the real world of Virginia." This really does speak to the issue of how not just George Allen, but all Americans look at race, ethnicity in this country.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Ed, and I don't buy that excuse. He just made up a word based on the young man's Mohawkish haircut. Macaca is a word. I've heard the word more than one time. If you've been to Europe, you certainly heard the word, and quite a few educated people know what the word means. So I think that he was pandering to his all-white audience. I think he might have had a leg to stand on had he not said, "Welcome to America." I saw the tape. So to me, that was a clear message to the young man, almost to imply that he was some strange foreigner that had an interloper into their midst. So I just don't buy it. You know, whether or not he's a racist, I don't know. I don't know what is in the man's heart. I know only what he said. And at minimum, it was a mean, nasty comment. And at the other end of the spectrum, it was racist. So, I mean, on his face. So I don't know what kind of damage control he's going to do. All this backpedaling seems to put him deeper and deeper in the hole. So I don't know what more to say on this. I think his presidential aspirations are kind of shot. I don't see how he's going to get from underneath this.
Michael Myers, we continue to see this kind of foot-and-mouth disease that many politicians get, particularly when they're on the campaign trail, and then the initial feeling of, oh, I didn't mean it, the quick backtrack, the quick apology. This has almost become standard fare in Washington.
And then also wanting to be ahead of the game in terms of getting the U.S. Congress to apologize for slavery as a way of saving their own image. You know, this was, ironically, this was a listening tour on George Allen's part, so I agree with Yvonne. If George Allen is listening, you can kiss your presidential ambitions goodbye. You know, an Asian Indian who is picked out by George Allen and called him a caca. I mean, that in and of itself is so offensive and so outrageous and idiotic. And then to say, welcome to America, before a primarily, if not exclusively, white audience, we know what that means. Everybody knows it. I mean, you can call it foot-in-the-mouth disease. You can call it mean-spirited. I call it racist. And that's what it was. He saw race. He saw the race of his audience. He saw the race of his own skin. And he saw the race of the videographer, which was different from the audience and his own skin. So I think this is outrageous. And his Asian Indian defender who said that he'd stake everything he has that George Allen is not that kind of guy, meaning racist. My question to him is, how much do you have?
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting that George Allen was able to round up a person of Asian descent so quickly to defend him. It reminds me of some of those sayings, you know, about some of my best friends are black,
some
when
of my best
said
friends,
something
right?
stupid about black people. But in this case, what's really interesting is that this might have gone unnoticed were it not for the fact that we have 24-hour-a-day TV news. We also have blogging going on, and I think some of the bloggers were the ones to get this information out. So these politicians may have been able to get away with this kind of goofy talk in the past. They now need to be on alert. You can't say stupid stuff. Whatever's in your heart, whatever. We don't know about that, but as Ms. Bynoe said, we know what you said, and that's what we can judge you on.
Well, here's the dumbest of the dumb in all of this. It's reported that the gentleman that he referred to as the macaca was the man who had the camera in his hand. So, I mean, if you're going to make a disparaging remark like that, you might want to do it to someone who doesn't have a camera in their hands. All right, real quick, we want to take a look at a survey that looked at diversity and whether or not term limits help to expand diversity in legislatures. And in 15 states with term limits, they found, Yarship, that for female or minority representation within state legislatures, this does not necessarily help.
Well, I never quite got the connection between term limits and racial diversity in state houses. When you think about it, people are being elected from their districts. Many districts are pretty much shaped according to race, ethnicity. So if one person is forced out of office, it's a good chance that somebody of the same race, ethnicity will be elected to that seat. So you've not really gained anything. So I think we're confusing some issues here. If someone were running for office in, say, Central Harlem, it's a good chance that person's going to be a black person replacing another black person. So you don't end up with diversity in terms of race. You may end up with a change in gender, but that's about it.
Well, my feel is that as the neighborhoods transition, you'll get diversity in terms of representation in state houses, in Congress, and in local legislatures as well. But, you know, I don't really care whether or not it's racially diverse and more women diverse in terms of term limits. I believe in term limits, which, I mean, the diversity issue is a separate question. The question is, What kind of government do we have? And these people take themselves too seriously. They think they own all the knowledge there is. They think their quote-unquote experience gives them the right to have a lifetime job, and they shouldn't have a lifetime job. They should serve in government for 6, 8, 12 years, then get out. Give somebody else a chance. That's the kind of diversity I like, that diversity of ideas, diversity of change. Get the heck out.
Get a job.
Get a real job.
Gerrymandering, redrawing of lines, etc. That ER brings up, Yvonne, brings in an interesting point that the survey may not have taken into account, but it did show that open seats caused by term limits did clear the way, according to them, for an increase of Hispanic lawmakers in California, Florida, and Arizona, and for blacks in Michigan and Arkansas. And I guess the thought would be, if you don't have term limits, potentially you can just sit in that seat, not go get a, quote, real job, Michael Myers, and die in that chair.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think residential patterns certainly are a primary concern with talking about racial diversity. Yeah, some areas are transitioning or becoming different demographically, but a lot of them are very static. But I think the pipeline for candidates in the majority of elections is very narrow. It is expensive to run for office, even at the school board level. That's just not a drop in the bucket anymore, whether we're talking about staffs, whether we're talking about even just placards. It costs money to run for office. I think there are a lot of people, too, who don't want the scrutiny of running for office. That means not just you, but now it's your family and all your associates. And people weigh that against, you know, the benefits of being in office. Also, too, it doesn't really pay well. If you are, a lot of people make the decision, well, I would like to give back, but given the scrutiny, given what I have to give up, I'd rather just get a job somewhere else. And also, too, it's an old boy network that's still in place in many areas. If you can't get the party bosses to endorse you, that means you get no money and you get no support. So, again, I think there are a lot of reasons. Again, the residential patterns are clearly important, but I think there are other factors that play into that as well.
All right, Yvonne, Michael, and ER, thank you so much. And for those of you who are state legislators and listening, Michael Myers says, go get a real job.